Nyttårssalget er i gang hos Dressmann. Nå får du opp til 70% rabatt på et stort utvalg skjorter, gensere, bukser og mye, mye mer. Opp til 70% rabatt ved kjøp av to eller flere varer. Salget finner du i butikk og på dressmann.com.
En podcast fra Podplay.
Bumped into Dave, I hadn't seen him for a while, and he told me he'd joined this band called Iron Maiden. This is before they had a record contract. So I went to see him at a place called the Cart and Horses.
Opptaket I gang, trykker på den røde rekknappen, og da kommer nervene. Jeg skal snakke med Adrian Smith, kuleste gitaristen I Iron Maiden, og Smith Kotzen, som snart kommer med nytt album. Det det vi skal snakke om for det meste da, men jeg lover jeg skal prøve å få inn noen Maiden-spørsmål. Akkurat nå jeg bare veldig nervøs, selv om jeg vet at Adrian Smith en veldig sånn, rolig, sindig kar, så her kommer sikkert til å gå fint altså. Men sånn det å prate med gudene sine. Jeg prøver å være en slags objektiv journalist her, musikkjournalist. Det jo liksom jobben min, men jeg klarer ikke å skjule at det her utrolig stort for meg. Og jeg håper du skjønner det, du som hører på gammel Maiden akkurat nå. Fy flate. Venter på svar fra selvvasten Adrian Smith. En mann med en fantastisk tone I gitaren sin og en nydelig melodigefyl som jeg har koset meg med I 5, 36 år av livet mitt faktisk. Fy flate. Det her blir bra. Det må bli bra.
Gammel Maiden med Torkel Torsvik.
So, Adrian Smith, how are you?
Yeah, all right, thanks, all right.
Good to hear your voice there. Before I forget this, I promised Hans Olav Solli. You remember him?
Yeah, of course, Hans Solli. Yeah.
Yeah, I promised him to just say hi when I got in contact here.
Oh, you saw him?
Yeah, I had him as a guest in my podcast, and we talked a lot about the good old days. And he's still a good singer, you know.
I know, he sends me some stuff now and again. Yeah, he sounds good.
Yeah. And now you're also doing some nice stuff. Congratulations with your second album with Richie Kotzen, Adrian.
Thank you.
It's, 10 tracks. And the first thing I thought after finishing listening to this is like, it sounds like two guys having a lot of fun together. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun. You know, I have a soft spot for this kind of heavy, kind of bluesy classic rock. So it gives me a chance to, you know, get those ideas out, you know, get them out and express those ideas.
Yeah. Can you tell me about, like, the first time the two of you tried to play together? Because I can hear that you found a perfect match here.
Yeah, I sort of got to know Richie because I moved to LA part-time about 15 years ago and met up with Richie. I mean, there's a big community of musicians, right? Everyone knows everyone out there. So, and I jammed with Richie a few times. You know, I love his solo stuff. And my wife actually said to me, why don't you and Richie try and write some songs? So, we decided to do that. And the first time we sat down, we came up with a song called Running, mm-hmm. which is our first album. And the same day, we started working on a song called Scars. So, and it just worked really well, you know. Yeah. And we started that day how we've worked ever since. You know, I'll have a chord sequence, I'll sing something over it, and then Richie will go, what about this? And then we put that on. It just goes back and forth, you know. It's very creative, very sort of organic way of writing, just the two of us, and that's what we do.
Your voices, I always thought that you got a great singing voice, and you actually, I read somewhere that you started as a singer before picking up the guitar, didn't you?
I did, yeah, because, I mean, I've known Dave Murray, the other guitarist in Maiden, since we were 15 years old. And we became friends. We grew up in the same neighborhood, and Dave had already been playing guitar for 3 years. We were the only two kids in the neighborhood who had long hair and liked, you know, Deep Purple and stuff like that. So I said, well, look, we got to form a band. He said, well, you don't play any fiddle. So I said, well, I'll sing. So that's how I started. And then I learned to play as I went along, you know. And I did that right up until I joined Iron Maiden, when I stopped the singing. But it's always kind of been in my blood, you know. And my heroes were Steve Marriott, Phil Lynott, Pat Travers, Johnny Winter, those kind of people, you know. Guys who played guitar, but who sang a little bit, you know. I always liked that.
Yeah. And, when you didn't let, like, Hans Olav and other people sing, you also sang in ASAP. And so you keep coming back to the singing, so it must be fun for you to...
Yeah, I enjoy it. But, you know, my voice has limitations. I don't have much of a range. Richie's got a great range, you know. So when we're writing, it gives us a lot more scope, you know, sonically, with the two of us singing. I think it's interesting. I can't think of anyone else who does it, having two singers swapping lines and guitar. So, you know, I think it's important to do something. We're taking kind of the blues, classic rock, if you like. But I think it's important to try and do something different with it, you know, different interpretation. I think that's what we're trying to do, really. So we're taking that inspiration from classic rock, and then, you know, which I think is timeless, you know. And I think melody is timeless also. So if you're, you know, our choruses are pretty melodic, so, you know, hopefully songs that people can remember.
You talked about the range of Richie there. Of course, your voices are different, but I can also hear similarities, especially in your timing and your rhythm in how you sing. It's like almost the same way of singing. So you must have some common influences.
I mean, Paul Rodgers is a big one, you know. In terms of timing and phrasing, I mean, not so much with me with sound, but that's what, you know, the phrasing and the feel kind of really inspires me. You know, it's one of Richie's favorite singers as well. So, like I say, Richie and I have common ground. He's got different influences to me as well. Like, you know, he played jazz fusion part of his career, you know, so sometimes we'll throw a bit of that into the mix as well. It makes it more interesting, you know.
Mm-hmm. And him being American and you're British, what kind of American bands did you listen to when you were like a kid before picking up the guitar and everything?
Well, really, with growing up, it was all the British bands.
Yeah.
Deep Purple, Free, later on Bad Company. Thin Lizzy, although they're Irish, you know. So it was a UFO, you know, Priest. It was all British bands, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think American bands came over to Britain that much, you know, because I guess it was a relatively small market. I mean, I don't remember Aerosmith or anything like that. I think British bands had more sort of a bit more of an edge to them. You know, America was always very smooth. In fact, when I went over to America for the first time, I noticed that, you know, if you walked into a bar and saw an American band, they'd be playing covers, you know, and they'd play them brilliantly because they had to. That's the way it is in America. And they had to play the top 40 songs and play them perfectly. In England, you go into a pub and bands are playing their own stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But it was always a bit more edgy. American bands are a little bit more technically probably proficient, but so there was a big difference, you know.
Mm-hmm. Have Richie, like, Have you mentioned bands that you should listen to? And you got some good advice from Richie, being I guess he knows American music even better.
I mean, you'd have to ask him about his influences, but I know, I mean, he's into sort of George Benson as well, and that sort of thing, as well as, you know, the usual rock stuff. He's got slightly broader info. He also started playing when he was a lot younger than me. He started playing when he was 8 years old. Hmm. So I think your motivation to play is different. I mean, when I was 15, everyone says to you, what are you going to do with your life, don't they? Yeah. You got to start thinking about what you want to do. So I thought, well, I'll give music a go. You know, I love it. So, but probably when you're 8 years old, you just do it because your pure love of music. I don't know. Yeah. Or, you know, you're encouraged to do it, which is great. But I wasn't young. I wasn't when I was young, but I just took it up on my own when I was older. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like you're a little bit far from the microphone or something, but... But I listened to this album and already on the first, the opener, Muddy Water, I could kind of breathe, you know. Working in radio, we got a lot of new music and it's kind of polished in the production, but this is more... organic, and I always wonder, musicians like you, do you think about that during the production, the process to make it more organic than modern music?
I think that's the nice thing about it. I mean, I think I did say to Richie earlier on, should we not, you know, really stack the guitars up, you know, put five or six on each side of us? But then he said, you know, well, you won't really hear what we're playing. It's just going to be a wall of sound. And he's right, really. I think the way we record is just two guitars, bass, drums, vocals, and then we add little bits and pieces because it's more real. I mean, what you're hearing now on a lot of new records is it's all computerized. It's not really played. It's all sort of post-production. You know, so everything's done to a time and a grid, and everything's tuned perfectly. So what you're hearing really isn't real, you know. Mm-hmm. So at least what we do is, you know, it's a bit more, well, like you say, organic and a bit more real, and you can hear what we're doing, you know. And I'd rather that than you know, something that's overproduced.
And. More importantly, maybe you're singing with the voice that's coming out. There's no growling and stuff that's very popular right now.
Well, no, I don't think I could. I don't think I could growl if you paid me. But good luck to him.
Yeah. But let's go back to the guy that met Dave and you tried singing. Can you? I always think it's fun to explore the beginning of everything. So, do you remember like the first moment in your life, the music you listened to, or that made you think, "Wow, this will be a big part of my life from now on," like rock music and this lifestyle?
Well, I always loved music before I started to play. I mean, when I was a little kid, it was Beatlemania, you know.
Yeah.
So, my parents used to sort of give me, my dad had a ukulele, and I used to put that on and just jump around the living room, you know, when they put on Beatles records and just watch me, you know, I was like a wind-up toy, you know, just run around the room with this ukulele. So I loved the Beatles. And then I think when I was about 15, I mean, the music that they had on the radio in England in the 70s and late 60s was pretty awful. And then I discovered through my older sister, actually, she had, I remember going into her record collection and she had Deep Purple Machine Head. And I put that on, I just blew me away. And I thought, oh yeah, this is what it's all about. Then I got into Free and all that. And that was it. It just, I got the bug, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time we got together with Dave Murray, we played, I think we played, a song called Silver Machine by Hawkwind.
Yeah.
Lemmy's band. I love that song. I managed to sing that. And also stuff like, you know, Johnny B. Good and, you know, Brown Sugar and all this stuff. I mean, Dave could play all that stuff. So that's the first thing the first stuff we played, you know.
Yeah. And after a while, did you split up? He started in Maiden, but you didn't from the beginning. So did he move or something? What happened there?
No, I think another band I must mention is in the early days is Status Quo. I mean,
yeah.
Before they went sort of more commercial sound, they were really, really pile driving. Rock and roll band. They were absolutely fantastic, and that was a massive influence on Dave and I. I think you know, when your kid's trying to get started, we did a few gigs, but it was hard to get going. Dave was a bit more advanced than me. He'd been playing a long time, and he was quite ambitious, and so he said, look, I'm gonna look for another band that's got, you know, something going on, like with gigs and maybe a record contract. So he went off. He answered an ad in the, we used to have a paper called The Melody Maker, and in the back of that there was always adverts like guitarist wanted, singer wanted, you know,
yeah,
all that sort of stuff. So he started going for auditions, and so we kind of parted ways for a while, you know.
Okay, so. So then I hope it's okay with this question, because I've now got 240 guests answering the same question, 240 different answers. Okay. Because I grew up with Maiden, I always ask this. Do you remember the first time you heard Iron Maiden?
Yeah, I think it was because I bumped into Dave. I hadn't seen him for a while, and he told me he'd joined this band called Iron Maiden. This is before they had a record contract. So I went to see him at a place called the Cart and Horses in London, which is quite a famous venue now. It's the venue where Maiden started, you know. Yeah, so I remember, and that must have been the early 70s. And a different singer then, and the guy used to... the singer, I think his name was Dennis, and he used to sort of do all these tricks like spitting blood and all this sort of stuff, you know. I don't remember any of the songs. That's all I remember about it, actually. It was many, many years ago.
Yeah, okay. So nice. And then, of course, you started in that band after a while. And also became a songwriter with Maiden. But now you're writing with Richie. What's the differences between writing for and with Maiden, and what you're doing now with Kotzen?
Well, you know, it's you get ideas all the time, you know. If I happen to get an idea, I just put it in a file, you know, on my computer. I travel, you know, when I'm touring with a studio, in a suitcase, you know, a small suitcase, so I can put ideas down. Mm-hmm. And then when I get together, you know, I have a sort of a rough demo or something, maybe just an intro or riff, verse, very rarely a whole song. And I'll play it to Richie, and maybe I'll sing something over it. And then he'll go, hey, how about this? I've got something, you know, you really just kind of build it like a wall, you know, with one block at a time.
Yeah,
I do the same with Bruce. You know, I play him a demo of a intro, a riff. Bruce will have a book full of lyrics. He's always writing lyrics, so he's very quick to come up with ideas. And I mean, sometimes I'll have a title like "Speed of Light" or "Writing on the Wall," and maybe some melodies to get him started on it.
Mm.
You know, so sometimes I write some of the melodies as well. With Steve, I usually have the finished music, and he just writes the lyrics to it. You know, he's very, very into writing lyrics these days.
Okay. So, and Richie is also does he like to write lyrics? Because I know it's really difficult to make a good lyric that sticks out. Do you like it, and do Richie like that part of the job, making a song?
I think that's the hardest thing. Yeah. Not so much the melodies, but the actual words, because your vocabulary is limited, because the words have got to sound good. So there's certain words you just can't sing. So your vocabulary is limited.
Yeah.
And to make it all make sense, I think if you start with a good title, like we had some great titles, I think like White Noise was a great title. We decided to make that about social media. And once you get the idea and the title, Black Light, it's about deception, or, you know, things aren't always what they seem.
Mm.
You know, once you get a concept, it's easier. But, you know, we'll sit there and literally just sweat for 3 or 4 hours till we have something. It's like a puzzle, you know, you've got to solve the puzzle and make it all make sense. And Richie's, you know, very good with lyrics, you know, making it all fit together. So that's definitely up my game, you know, as far as writing. Because lyrics, to me, I used to get frustrated and just say, oh, that'll do, you know, it sounds okay. You know, because let's face it, if you hear, you know, a driving rock song, you know, it's the riff that gets you, and then the singer, if he sounds like he means what he's singing, then that's good enough. You don't always know the lyrics.
Mm.
Or it sounds like he's singing something. And how many times have you sung along to something, you don't know what they're saying, but you like the way it sounds, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, I know the feeling, thinking it's okay, but it's not like the best thing I've ever done in my life. But do you have a song that you can look back on and say, yeah, I nailed the lyrics on this one?
Well, the maiden song Wasted Years comes to mind, because that just almost sort of wrote itself, you know.
Yeah.
And once you have the title, you know, Wasted Years, you know, what's that about? and it just kind of flowed, you know. I had the music and it just came together really quickly. I think sometimes the best songs do come together very quickly. And, you know, if you can put down something that you really feel, then it's going to be much more convincing to the listener, you know.
Yeah, and that song is, there are several versions of it with other musicians doing it like acoustically. And that's a good test for a song if it works,
yeah.
Like stripped down like that.
Yeah, it is. In fact, I think there's about 20 versions of that song around, which is, you know, it's quite flattering, really.
And I also heard that you and Richie will maybe try some acoustic shows or play more acoustic in the future.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge because I've never really done it before. In fact, we did. We just did a little show at the Grammy Museum in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
That just came up out of the blue. I was in town. Richie was there. So we said, well, let's do it. We got Richie's wife, Julia Lage, on bass, acoustic bass.
Yeah.
And we played 7 songs. And it was good, yeah. But it it's something we might pursue in the future.
Okay.
But you got to pick the right songs. You know, sometimes you try and, you know, it's not always, I mean, a great rock song doesn't always translate to acoustic, I don't think. You know, sometimes you just need the drums and the Marshall stacks, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we got plenty of songs that would work acoustically.
I look forward to that. But now you're out with soon be out with this fantastic album. And while listening to it, I thought I heard some Chris Cornell-ish voice there from Richie, and Googled it, and okay, the whole internet is saying the same thing. And then
yeah,
I I told myself to ask Adrian Smith, did you listen to grunge music and that stuff in the 90s? And what did you like or with it?
I mean, for, I think Richie is been compared to Chris Cornell quite a lot.
Yeah.
He's got a similar tone. He doesn't like being compared to him, but I can see why people do, you know. It's got similar tone.
Yeah.
Grunge, I didn't really know. I mean, not really. No, I didn't really like grunge that much. No, it seemed to be, you know, like there was sort of anti old school rock, you know, classic rock. And it, I don't know, a bit sort of a punky attitude.
Yeah.
Some of it was all right, you know, some, you know, all the bands. I mean, probably Soundgarden was the one that I probably liked, you know, yeah, most. But Audioslave, but that's just kind of a rock band, isn't it? And so was Soundgarden, really.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to have this kind of bit of, all the bands seem to have this kind of downer kind of vibe. I don't know to them. Maybe it's just the impression I got, like a negative kind of attitude, you know. But I mean, some of it was all right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And in the 90s, you explored other stuff before coming back to Maiden. And it seems like, yeah, other bands like Metallica, you can't have other bands than that one band. But it seems like in Maiden, it's okay to just explore and have fun in your spare time.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't always the case, you know. I mean, probably I did an album ASAP, Silver and Gold, in 89, I think, and I was still in the band.
Yeah.
And that eventually led to me leaving the band because it was so different to what Maiden were doing. But that's me, you know. I've got a pretty broad, you know, I just like music, you know. I'm not like it's only metal. I mean, I've just got a lot of sides to me. And I love metal as well, but, you know, I like blues. I like, you know, classic rock and stuff like that. Mm. Even a bit of country, you know. I've always been interested in doing projects outside. And now Bruce is doing it. Even Steve's doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think everyone's, you know, grown up and knows that they've got to give everyone their space, you know.
Nyttårssalget I gang hos Dressmann. Nå får du opp til 70% rabatt på et stort utvalg skjorter, gensere, bukser og mye, mye mer. Opp til 70% rabatt ved kjøp av to eller flere varer. Salget finner du I butikk og på dressmann.com.
You're listening to a podcast. I'm Bruce Dickinson. You're not. And you're listening to Gammal Maiden.
And how do you find time to do this? Because you're also... You like to travel a lot and fish.
yeah.
What's it called? Fly fishing or?
Fly fishing, yeah. All sorts of fishing, really. Yeah, I find that a real good, you know, get away from the rock and roll business. I mean, Maiden tour 3 months a year. For the rest of the time, you know, I've really pretty much could do what I like. Now, I mean, it wasn't always the case. Sometimes we'd tour for a whole year, but now we sort of just 3 months. So I've got plenty of time to do other stuff. And I think, you know, I'm happiest when I'm sort of creating, being productive, making music. I just enjoy it. I enjoy the process of making music. So, you know, I like to keep myself busy.
Yeah. I don't know how much time we got now. We have 4 or 5 minutes, maybe.
No.
One more question will be fine.
One more.
Just one more. Thanks.
So, of course, I will see you on stage this summer with Maiden. But do you think it will be possible also to experience Smith Cotson live in the near future?
I think we're looking at the beginning of 2026.
Okay.
The first quarter. Hopefully, do some dates in Europe. That'd be great. I'd really love to get out and play live. It was a lot of fun when we did our last run. So, you know, I know we got fans out there, so we'd love to bring the music out and play to them.
It must be a different experience with the smaller venues compared to the mega concerts with Maiden.
Yes, it's it's pretty different, but it, you know, it keeps your feet on the ground, you know.
Yeah. So thank you so much for taking your time to speak with Radio Rock, and good luck with the release and everything.
Okay.
It's been an honor. So thank you, Adrian Smith.
Thank you. Cheers, bye.
Gammal Maiden med Torkel Torsvik, en podcast fra Radio Rock.
Oi, der. Nå først går det opp for meg hva jeg egentlig har drevet på med her. Jeg har snakket med Adrian Smith kjempelenge. Det føltes veldig lenge da. Og så, ja, ganske fornøyd med at jeg var veldig høflig her og snakket mye om Smith-Cotsen, som jeg digger det siste albumet, selv om jeg jo Maiden-nerd, ikke sant? Så det jo tusen spørsmål der jeg egentlig har lyst til å stille, men så, men vet du hva, han snakker jo Maiden på egen hånd der, og det er helt nydelig. Wasted Years blir nevnt, og for en låt. Og tenk at jeg har snakket med mannen som har laget Wasted Years. Og Flight of Icarus og en drøss med andre fantastiske Maiden-låter. Og jeg håper du har koset deg med den her ganske rolige praten. Jeg holdt meg skikkelig iskald, men ja, nå begynner adrenalin å pumpe rivelig heftig gjennom systemet. Man kjenner det jo ikke før man ferdig, ikke sant, med et eller annet sånn veldig viktig i livet, og det har jeg nettopp gjort. Fy flate, det her var viktig for meg. Hvor mange timer har jeg suttet og hørt og sett VHS-opptak av han kule gitaristen her med den fantastiske gefylen på gitaren sin og meloditeften og alt sammen. Fy flate. Nå skal jeg slutte å bable her. Håper du har koset deg. Takk for at du hører på. Lik, del, snakk om Gammal Maiden. Prøv å hjelpe denne her lille podcasten. Litt opp og frem da, det trengs sånn innimellom, og så gleder vi oss til Maiden-konserter til sommeren, ikke sant? Så up the irons, og takk for at du fremdeles hører på Gammal Maiden. Men lykkelig, Torkil i bak mikrofonen her.
Du har hørt en podcast fra Podplay, en enklere måte å høre podcast på. Last ned appen Podplay, eller se podplay.no.
Nyttårssalget i gang hos Dressmann. Nå får du opp til 70% rabatt på et stort utvalg skjorter, gensere, bukser og mye, mye mer. Opp til 70% rabatt ved kjøp av to eller flere varer. Salget finner du i butikk og på dressmann.com.